Welcome back to another glass of Charlie Fay. I'm your host, the one and only weirdo that'll crack open a bottle of wine at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. So grab whatever you're drinking this morning, buckle up, and get ready for another amazing episode. All right. So today we have Monica Hebert from Monica Hebert Life Coaching and Events. I'm so excited to be speaking with her today. This is going to be an amazing episode. You guys are going to love it. We're talking about all things sex, all things life coaching, all things intimacy. It's going to be amazing. So I'm going to let her introduce herself. So tell me, Monica, tell me a little bit about you and tell me a little bit about your business.
So my name is Monica, as Shirley has said. I am a pleasure-centered success coach virtually. So I work with women around the world, attract more success through their pleasure. And so, what else do you want to know?
Honestly, I just think that it's amazing what you do and what you do for women. So tell me, like, when someone is going to book you, what do you, I guess, talk about with them first?
So right off the bat, we'll assess what goals they have, what desires they have towards success and life aspirations. And after that kind of initial assessment, then we go in and essentially what I use pleasure for is kind of the tool to navigate where their like life pleasure ceiling is.
Okay.
And so for me,
so it's not just about like pleasure sexually, like no, this is about like pleasure period. in all aspects of your life.
But what we do is I essentially use self-pleasure as a tool to kind of create like a blueprint for Midas. We have my cat.
We have her cats here too, so you might hear them meow during the episode.
it essentially builds like a blueprint for them to kind of bump that ceiling up and allow more into their lives, because women usually have a lot of conditioning around pleasure. A lot of conditioning around success and what success looks like. Mm-hmm. A lot of conditioning around how much I can have and how easy it can be. Like if I have a lot, then it has to be really fucking hard and I have to be working really hard for it. Mm-hmm. It has to be like almost painful.
And how much you think you deserve too.
100%. Worthiness and deservingness is like one of the top two sensations. Cause I do like somatic work. So essentially feelings will have sensations inside of your body. And those are really the sensations that we work with, because if I'm feeling resistance for something, well, it's my feeling fatigue that's really going to stop me. For me, resistance will often show up as fatigue. So I'll feel like heaviness in my face. And
I feel like I feel the same way too.
Sometimes anxiety will show up for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Resistance shows up for like in multiple mm-hmm. ways.
I guess it's different for everybody too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, when that happens, identifying the sensation that is like stopping you and then going in and finding out where in your life you've like felt those sensations and kind of tracing it back to the moment in time where you learned or you coded into your system that, the belief system that you're holding, like that whatever is like bringing up the resistance in you in that moment.
Okay.
So pleasure does is allow us to find that right away. Mm-hmm. When I move into pleasure, whether it's self-pleasure sexually or if I'm visualizing like a pleasurable life.
So can we talk a little bit about like the different kinds of pleasure for a woman?
Yeah. So I would say sexual pleasure, nurturement, self-care would fit into that. Love, safety can be pleasurable. Then you would have the more like outer excitement of life. So like, for example, I don't know, it really depends on the person, right? Like for me, traveling is like extremely pleasurable. I know you.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I feel like we're probably going to touch a little bit about that today too.
So like getting on a flight, there's nothing more exciting for me.
And, oh my God.
Pleasurable.
The fact that you can get on a flight and wake up in a different time zone is just like such a huge, it's such a huge excitement level for me. Like it's just something that feeling is nothing, I guess it doesn't compare to anything else that 100%. I've ever done in my life.
100%. So love, being in a romantic relationship can be one of them. What else? I mean, what do you find pleasurable? Eating can be a pleasure.
Yeah.
It really depends. You could be gaming. You could be whatever.
I guess whatever makes you happy, right?
Exactly. I find like happiness or excitement or satisfaction is usually where we try to like work towards, right? Like a satisfying, what would be a satisfying, not journey, but like outcome.
Okay.
To us working together. That would be like kind of like our guideline.
Okay.
What would be satisfying. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know where we went with that, but
that's okay. I think that it's really cool that you do this and that I don't think there's anybody else in the region that offers any kind of service like this.
I don't know for sure. I don't think so. And mostly because
not in this depth, I feel like.
Yeah. I think I do have a background in psychology, background in, like somatic therapy. And then coaching certification that I did. And I did some Reiki and some like spiritual journeying on
my
own, stuff like that.
So do you also offer that as a service too? Just like, I know that we've talked before about like manifesting and that kind of stuff. So tell me a little bit about like if you offer that or.
So no, I don't offer it like straight. You can't buy like a Reiki session.
I guess
anymore.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I used to offer it.
Okay.
But I kind of see it as it's a tool that I have in my belt. And if it comes up, it comes up. Except for manifestation. Manifestation is like or law of attraction tools are like a pillar in the work that I do. Like everything for me comes back down to law of attraction. And I know for a fact that when I'm in pleasure, I attract stuff like it's nobody's business.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Praise hands right now. Yeah. I love that. I love that you're talking about that too, because I recently just discovered manifesting and the law of attraction. And I've been doing a lot of more research on it and little things like that. And just for example, and this is how I know that it's worked for me, I guess maybe it doesn't work for everybody or if you don't believe in it or that kind of stuff. But a few years ago, I had written a Facebook post about the top five places that I wanted to shoot a wedding or that I wanted to travel to do a session there or anything like that. And the top five places, number one was Santorini, Greece.
Yes.
Number two was Venice, Italy.
Yep.
Number three was Iceland.
Oh,
and
God.
Number four was, I think it was Portugal or I can't remember which one. And the other one was Paris. And I went to all five of those places last year.
Yes.
And it was so funny because when, I think it was like in probably in like December or something like that I wrote the post. So when I'm looking at like my memories back, like on Facebook, you can look at the memories, I came across that day and I saw the post and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I wrote this 2 years ago and I went to all of these places last year.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how much you can, I guess how much you, if you believe in yourself, if you believe that you're going to do it, it's going to happen whether or not you.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's funny that you say the like people that don't believe in it, because there's this thing with like the law of attraction is a universal law, just like the law of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you believe in it or not, it's like always functioning. The law of attraction that we're talking about is taking this universal law and applying it to the like our function as a human being.
Okay.
Our brain being able to emit emit frequencies and receive them.
Yeah.
And so what I essentially over the years, there's like when you listen to The Secret for the first time,
I listened to last week,
for example, which is like the basics for the law of attraction. Like if you want to start, I would say watch The Secret. It's probably like it's the OG of the
I think that's
year
kind of
2000.
Like where, yeah, I think that's kind of where it all, not where it all started, but where it started getting, I guess, more trendier 100%. And it started getting more popular through The Secret.
Because I would say before that, for generations before that, Bob Proctor has been a really big, which he's in The Secret.
Yes.
He's been a really big proprietor of the law of attraction. Mike Dooley, who's also in The Secret, John Assaraf, and then they kind of have all learned it from probably Napoleon Hill, which wrote Think and Grow Rich, which is like a super OG, a little bit problematic of a book, but like for
I've never
for
read it,
times,
so I don't know.
Yeah, for the times, it's like it was very revolutionary and like outwardly thinking and like holy shit, this guy's crazy. But he essentially writes how he used the law of attraction to become rich. And there's also another book called The Science of Getting Rich. The Science of Getting Rich. And I can't remember who wrote that one, but that's also like beginning of the 20th century, so like 1920 maybe.
Okay.
So again, kind of problematic.
Yep. It's just a little bit older.
Yeah,
I guess there's more modern books that you can get now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but those books are like fucking fire.
Okay.
They're so good. If you can get past the like
the fact that they're just talking to men. Because women can fucking be millionaires too.
Exactly. they're really great books. Anyways. So, for the non-believers of the law of attraction, obviously it's okay. Like your beliefs are your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And
100%.
Yeah. But I would challenge the idea that not because you don't necessarily understand what's happening doesn't necessarily mean it's not working.
Okay.
And I think people would benefit from just trying to shift their thought. Like even if it's not fully for the law of attraction, raising your frequency with better thoughts, period, will make you will tune your frequency to pick up on things that are similar to how you're feeling.
Okay.
So for example,
it's basically like when you talk about something and then it shows up on
Facebook.
It shows up in your ad and like you're like, oh my God, someone's listening to me.
It's essentially like you're tuning your frequency like you would tune a radio. If I'm tuning my frequency to, I don't know, 94.5, I'm expecting to listen to hear 94.5 on the other end.
That makes sense.
So if I'm tuning my personal frequency to, I don't know, the frequency of happiness, I can then pick up on more things that
will trigger that.
Exactly. So it's essentially like I am now able to pick up on stuff that I tuned my mind to,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can see it in that way where you're kind of tweaking the frequencies that you pick up on or the things that you pick up on, or you can take it a step further and kind of see yourself as a like really powerful magnet bringing stuff into your existence.
Yes.
Which for me feels more powerful.
I also feel that too. And like I said, I've just recently started looking into this and doing a lot more research. And it was actually from that post that I, you know, the one that I was talking about in my memories that I, when I saw that, I was like, holy shit, like it really does work. The more that you, say something, there was a friend of mine that said, that she had put a thought on her fridge every single day, or that she kept it on her refrigerator and she looked at it every single day.
Yeah.
And it was, I think it was like that she wanted to like backpack around Europe for, for a whole month or for a whole year or whatever it was. And she kept looking at it anytime that she would make breakfast, she would look at it and read it in her head, and that she was going to be able to go and backpack. She was going to be financially stable enough to be able to go and backpack around Europe for a month or a year or whatever it was. And finally, after I think it was a year and a half of her doing that, of her saying that constantly every single day, she was able to quit her job and go and backpack around Europe for a whole year, which was what she had always dreamed of. So it was like, the more that you say it, the more that you remind yourself that that's the goal that you're working towards, 100%. The more that it's going to happen.
And there's this funny thing that happens where I think this actually benefits people who don't necessarily believe in the law of attraction, because when you have a desire, chances are that if you have a really, really strong desire, so I'll use making more money for or getting a promotion, because it's often something I come across with clients. Okay, I want a promotion really, really bad. I want this specific promotion. People who don't want to get their hopes up usually will have a desire really quickly, launch that rocket of desire into the universe, and then they get off the topic because they don't want to be disappointed.
Because they don't want to set that expectation that they're getting it.
Exactly.
And then be disappointed.
Yes.
Okay.
So for, so we'll leave that example there. For someone who is like really strongly wanting that desire and like focuses on it, there's also on the I always say with each subject, there are always two ends to that stick. There are always like two subjects. There's the having it and there's the lack of it. And we can easily fall into the lack. Like, I really want that job, but I don't have it. You can easily tweak your frequency to the not having it. And hence you're in resistance and like basically like limiting yourself from receiving what you're really wanting.
Yeah.
And so people who don't really believe it or don't really want to set themselves up for failure have the advantage of launching the rocket and letting the universe do the rest, and they're in full receiving mode.
Okay.
Which is like, it's
that's
so
a really good
funny
way to put it. Yeah.
It's so funny because I'll just use myself for an example. I know that I can attract whatever I want. I have done it multiple times with stuff that I don't really care about.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yep. Just as like testing it out type of thing.
Yeah. And I've done it with huge things as well. But when I don't really care and I know that I'm going to find a solution, like no matter what, I'm holding an example in my head of when I had first bought my home in 2016, I needed a lawnmower. I had bought a lawnmower off Kijiji and it wasn't working, and I needed a lawnmower. And so I just thought to myself, you know what? It's not a big deal. The lawn's gonna fucking grow, whatever. And I'm gonna find a lawnmower. I'm gonna find another one on Kijiji. It's gonna work. And if it only works for the next 2 months, then that's fine.
Whatever.
I'll have a lawnmower for the next 2 months. Summer's gonna be ending anyways. And so that was a Friday, and that Sunday my parents randomly showed up at my door with a brand new lawnmower. Which was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Which was literally fucking crazy. And so that has happened for me with electronics, laptops, phones. I've done it with trips. I've done it with clients. I've done it with when I was in marketing. I've done it with jobs. I've done it with, just recently during COVID, me and my partner, Julian, so he works for UDEM.
Okay.
And they have him on contract right now because they can't hire full-time employees yet. And so we're both sitting there. I was supposed to launch something new, and we're both sitting there kind of thinking like, well, we don't have right now, we don't have anything like actively working towards making us money.
Okay.
So like, why don't we just fucking buckle down I mean, there's still money coming in, but like we're not actively like growing our, you know, our income sources. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, why don't we just like buckle down and like be fucking delusional about what we can manifest and like what our state of living is. And we just decide to fucking, for the next 3 months, we just decide that we're like, every time we step onto the deck, we're millionaires. And every time we walk through the doors, we're jumping into the portal where we're now rich and, you know, traveling the world always and like living on the road and our cats can fucking travel with us and whatever. Like, what, we're going to be fucking delusional about it. And within, I think it was a little less than 48 hours, I manifested $12,000.
That's incredible.
Like that. That's and it was amazing. Literally so easy. Actually, was it 12? I got an extra six after that. So like probably like a week and a half after that, I got another $6,000.
That's crazy. $6,000. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's been a nice law to me.
Yeah, for sure. I guess another thing that I could add to this, last night, me and Josh were talking about, I guess like we were watching, I don't know if you've watched the show yet, Down to Earth with Zac Efron.
Oh, we started watching.
Okay, so
we're only at the second episode.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's so good. And the first episode just happens to be Iceland, which mm-hmm. is my favorite place in the entire universe.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Iceland. I have an emotional connection with Iceland.
Yeah.
And every time I think about it, it makes me want to cry because of just the way that I felt while I was there was yeah. just absolutely incredible. So we were sitting down and we were watching this and he turns to me and he was like, let's like, we should live abroad. And I was like, are you fucking crazy? First of all, I was like, I have weddings booked for the next 3 fucking years. Like I can't leave. I'm tied down to here. I can't go anywhere. And he was like, Shirley, you're just making excuses. Mm. He was like, you could come on your downtime. Like you could live abroad with me 6 months out of the year and then come back here. Like we could short-term rental our house. Like there's so many ways that we could do it.
Airbnb.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was like, no, we can't do that. I was like, no, we can't do it. So we kept watching the show and then he looked at me. He knows that Iceland is a soft spot for me. And he was like, why don't we live in Iceland? Like, why don't we move to Iceland for like 6 months? Like I could probably get a teaching position there. Why don't we do it? And I was like, no, like that's just crazy. Like you're being crazy right now. You're being delusional. Like this is not, it's not going to happen. So I kind of sat with that thought and it just kept coming up and coming up. And it's funny because as soon as he said, let's move to Iceland, there was something that sparked in my body. Like literally it felt like my body lit on fire. And I was like, yes, I just wanted to yell and be like, yes, let's fucking do this. This is going to be amazing. And I didn't because of the fear of, you know, the fear of unknown. I've never lived abroad before, so I wouldn't know how it feels like. And he's right. I don't have to make excuses because there are like a good 6 months out of the year, 4 to 5 months out of the year where I'm not as busy as I would be during wedding season. And I would be able to make it happen. If I really, really wanted to make it happen, I could.
Yeah.
And I kind of like sat with it and kept thinking about it. And then this morning I woke up crying because I dreamt about it last night. And I was like, I feel like we could make this happen. So I went to spin class this morning and then got back home. And as soon as I walked in the door, I saw him and I was like, let's move to Iceland. For like a year or like, let's do it for like during my downtime, during my down season. Like obviously I can't be there for all of the weddings that I have booked, you know, during all of the, I guess the busy part of wedding season, but I would be able to do it during my downtime.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, let's like, if you really want to do this, like I'm going to look into like some international schools that I'd be able to work at. Like he's already worked in an international school. He lived in China for 3 years.
So he
already knows and he's kind of done it before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice knowing that he has that he's able to kind of like guide me.
Tools.
Yes, exactly. He has the tools. And if you can live in China, you can fucking live anywhere. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was like, no, if you really want to do this, like I'm super on board with it. We can make it happen. And I was like, oh my God. So we were just kind of talking about it. And like, I have this like pit feeling that it's going to happen at some point, whether it be like next year, whenever the restrictions lift or the year after. And like, we're not opposed to going to any other country. Like I'd be fine with any of the Scandinavian countries or New Zealand or anything like that. It was a thought that kind of spiraled into different thoughts and into other thoughts that I didn't realize was possible. I didn't think that I would ever make this happen. Like I thought that I was going to be tied down here for the rest of my life. And not that I don't, I love living in New Brunswick, you know what I mean? And I love the fact that I travel throughout the year. So when I do come back home,
it feels
so good to come back home because it's that familiar territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So living in another country for 4 to 5 months out of the year would be fucking amazing. Like that would be so awesome. Like I already love to travel as it is. So if we're living in a European country or really anywhere, I could like country hop, like 100%. Wherever we are.
Is so easy to do it that. Is. And you're not that far away from my
city. No, you know? Exactly.
Away
exactly. Well. Exactly. So we're kind of like, we're keeping our options open, but it was a thought that kind of like, I guess like became a thing today.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's been really exciting to even think about it, that it is a possibility in the future. So that's kind of where we are right now, but I'm going to continue to manifest the shit out of this and it's going to fucking happen.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, I just thought of like so many things while you were talking. I'm like, yes, I have the same thing with the French Polynesian Islands.
Oh,
Moana.
Bora and
I watch Moana.
Yep.
Bitch. When you literally, okay, when she starts singing and it's still just the Disney castle, I start bawling instantly.
I can't.
I start bawling instantly, like ugly crying. Yep. It's like something inside me just needs to be there.
Yep. Yeah, I just feel the same way. I actually thought Moana was filmed in Hawaii for some reason.
Like Hawaii is like, if you have the U.S. continent and the Pacific Ocean, Hawaii is like kind of like not in the middle, but like it's far
It's
out.
Far. It is far. Because when I went in 2008, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was like I had to get on a plane to Toronto. It was Toronto to Vancouver, and Vancouver. I think Vancouver and like San Francisco are the only two places that you can get a direct flight from there. And it's still like a good like I think it's like 8 hour flight from Vancouver, which is insane.
Yeah.
So it's literally in the middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah. It's one of the most beautiful places that I've ever visited. Yeah. I'd 100% go back there in a second.
Yeah, I'm like so obsessed with I was gonna say Bali, no, with Fiji, with the Maldives,
yes,
with like any like tropical island or islands that offer like just fucking retreat from the world.
Yeah.
I'm super
living
into
in luxury, bitch.
Yeah. Exactly.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just so obsessed with like discovering new cultures and just like being a part of these places. And, you know, like, for example, like with Iceland, when I got off the plane in Iceland, it looked like I got off the plane in Mars.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The terrain is so wild.
It's so weird. It's so weird. And like, as you're driving through like the mountains and seeing all like the mountain goats and everything, it's such like a surreal experience to go.
I have a bucket list item to swim between the tectonic plates in Iceland.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like glacial water. So it's like freaking crystal clear.
Yep.
But it's like freezing also.
It's gorgeous. The whole thing. I wouldn't care.
I
like,
don't know me
give
either.
Me fucking hypothermia. I'll take it in a second. It's beautiful. It's absolutely insane. And it's funny because the couple that I went with last year, they had a big wedding planned for September.
Yeah.
And so she was planning the wedding and we hadn't done an engagement session or anything like that yet. And then all of a sudden I get a message from her and she was like, "Hey Charlie, I just wanted to let you know that we're canceling our big wedding in September." And I was like, "Oh my God, like, is everything okay? Like, are you guys still together? Like, what's going on?" And she was like, "Oh no, like we're still together. But we're going to elope in Iceland. Do you want to come?" And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me right now?" Literally, I sat there and started bawling my eyes out because Iceland was such a huge dream for me. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Yeah, of course I want to come." And she was like, "We're going in like a month and a half."
Oh,
and I was like, okay, I need to check and see if I'm available, first of all. And she gave me the dates and it just happened to be a weekend that I got a cancellation for a wedding 2 weeks prior to that.
That's crazy.
So I was like, Yeah, of course I want to go. Like, yeah, the universe is on my side. So she was like, yeah, like we don't really know what we're doing yet, but all I know is that's what we want to do. And it doesn't really matter how we get there or what we do. Like, that's what we're doing. And we want you to be there. Yeah. And I hadn't met them until like we had a meeting a few weeks before, before we went, but I hadn't met them until then. And then when we were in Iceland, it like me and the bride just had this, like, I had such a huge connection with my Iceland bride and with my my Italy and Greece bride. Like, yeah, any of my elopement brides, I have a connection with all of my brides, obviously. But because I'm spending so much time with them, yeah, it's just we develop like this,
a friendship.
Yeah, a friendship. And yeah, I do that, like I said, with all of my brides. Mm-hmm. I develop friendships with all of my brides. But when you're spending so much time with one person,
yeah,
you kind of develop something even grander.
And there's something about doing, like, going into that unknown with someone.
Yes, yes, exactly. I was literally just talking about this the other day. It's like the fact that we're able to, and we didn't get there at the same time, but with my Italy bride, we did get there at the same time. So mm-hmm. we were experiencing all of these emotions
together,
at the same time together. So it was even more special. And like with my Iceland bride, same thing. Like, we got there and we just, she told me, she got there like 2 days before I did.
Right.
And she was like, Charlotte, I don't even want to send you pictures because like, I want you to feel it when you get here.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, I wasn't really thinking anything of it. And then we got there and it was like, it blew my mind. Like, it was just completely out of any expectations that I ever had for this place. Like, yeah, it just completely blew it out of the water. And there was one specific moment that I remember during, or two actually specific moments that I remember during this trip that really like sealed it for me was one of those sessions that we did while we were there. We did a few sessions, then we had obviously the wedding day. And one of those sessions that we had while we were there was on the Black Beach in Iceland. I don't know if you've ever seen photos of it, but it is insane. It looks like something off of Mars.
Yeah.
And we did the session there and we knew that it was pouring fucking rain. Like, it was pouring rain all day. And she was like, no, we're still going.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, of course we're still going. Like, what are we going to do? Like, spend the whole day in the house? Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
So we get there and it is so windy. I wouldn't even be able to hear you sitting there.
But that's the one with like,
yes, yeah, yes. So anyways, it was so windy. It was raining. It was like just insane. And they had the time of their lives. Like, literally the raindrops were hitting my face and I'm pretty sure I got scratches on my face because that's how hard it was hitting me. It was incredible. And so that happened and we kind of like both like, I guess we both talked about it afterwards and realized like how much of a special moment that was and how much like nobody else that wasn't there that day is ever going to experience that same feeling that we had on that Black Beach that day. And then on the wedding day, it was so special as well. We went to Skógafoss Falls, which is like the famous fall. Yeah. There's a lot of famous falls in Iceland, but it's if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the big, big, big falls. And it has like a pretty big drop as well. So that's where we did the ceremony. So after
like
we were done,
several meters.
Yes. It's like very high.
Several.
It takes like a good half an hour to like hike up the stairs to get to the top of the waterfall.
Yeah,
like it's pretty
yeah.
high up. Anyway, so, we did the ceremony at the falls and we obviously did photos at the falls afterwards. And when you're shooting at a waterfall, like you're obviously going to get wet a little bit.
Yeah.
And I put them like right in, I guess, the face of the mist. So they were getting misted on the whole time that I was taking photos of them. And the photo was of, he had his arms wrapped around her and she just, I was taking the photo and she was kind of like looking off into the distance. And then I just saw her close her eyes and lift up her chin.
Oh.
And it was the most like incredible thing to be a part of because I know that she was like, she was really taking in that moment and really, I guess, like knowing that they had just gotten married and knowing that they just became husband and wife and that they're in one of the most beautiful countries on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was so beautiful to be a part of. And there was another one too. Like, we did another extra session while we were there and it was again in another waterfall, but it was in this waterfall that was hidden in some cave. So you had to like kind of like crawl in to get there. And when we got there, there was like, I would say like 30, 40 people there. And we were trying to get photos done. And I just yelled, I was like, we're shooting a fucking commercial. Get out of the way. And everybody left.
Oh my
God. Literally every single person left. So it was just like the four of us, because me and my sister were there too. And we shot for a good 20 minutes and I was soaking wet, literally soaking wet from head to toe. My whole camera was wet and they were like soaking wet as well. And like I said, it was the most incredible experience.
Those pictures are so incredible.
Thank you.
They really are.
I think it just really shows the emotion that I was really going for.
And also, having shot with you, I know how good of a job you do as a photographer to make sure that that emotion is felt as the person being photographed.
Yeah. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And I've heard the opposite where people say it's not my job to make you feel comfortable. And I
completely disagree.
I from someone who has felt deeply insecure in front of a camera, I'm so grateful for photographers like you. And also, I think it speaks to the type of photos that you want to take.
Obviously.
Of your clients.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the fact that you're doing boudoir shoots and, you know, you're doing more intimate settings with your clients is kind of a testament to the fact that people are still booking those. Mm-hmm. I think is a testament to how you show up at a shoot and the space that you hold and
if you're not looking at yourself in the mirror and looking at every single way that your body can show up in a photo, if you're not a model, if you're, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're not constantly looking at this, then you're going to feel very vulnerable in lingerie, or even if we're doing nudes, you're going to feel super vulnerable if you're not already comfortable in that kind of setting.
Yeah.
So bringing that comfortability and, you know, being able to speak with my clients and make them feel comfortable, I 100% feel is part of my job. If I want them to show any kind of emotion in their photos, I need to show up like that. I need to be able to offer that to them too. And I mean, some people don't want that either. You know what I mean? Some people want someone that's going to create that wall so that they don't have to show any kind of emotion. They're just looking for the photos and that's really it. But, you know, most people that want these kinds of sessions or even like intimate couple sessions or even weddings, like I'm going to be a part of, you know, like
this
one of the most
special days.
Exactly. Like one of your most intimate moments. So why would I not create some kind of comfortability?
But I think there's a gift to that. Like, not everyone's able to instantly connect. You have this ability to deeply connect with someone the first time you meet them. Like, I remember the first time I met you and it was oh, we're just meeting for coffee with an old friend.
Yeah. But I also felt like when I met you, I was like, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity, first of all.
Oh my God.
Second of all, I you just literally walked into the coffee shop. Like, you fucking own the place. You walked in, you're so like, funny. Bitch, you know my order. Sat down and you were like, hi, I'm Monica.
That's so funny.
It was just the way that your confidence really shows when you meet people. And I saw that firsthand when I first met you. Like, you literally walked into that coffee shop. Great. Like, you fucking owned the coffee shop and owned every single person in it.
That's everything. Oh my God. I fucking love that so much.
No, but it's true though. And it's it's funny because we seem to think that, you know, we seem to think that certain people have this confidence because of the way they look or the way that they dress or the way that, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how you see yourself and how you want to be presented.
It's so funny that you say that, because when I think about, when was this? Like a year and a half ago that we first met?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I think so. And when I think about my personal journey with confidence, that time is about the time where I felt real self-love for the first time.
Really? Really?
I would say probably a year prior is when I started really feeling into that. But that's about that time is... And I'm thinking, I think it was February 2019.
Something. Yeah. So we would have done the session in 2019.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I think we met February.
Yes.
And then we shot in March.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, a year ago. A year ago. Oh my God. It feels so much
longer. I know. I feel like I've known you for a whole fucking lifetime.
Anyways, and about November the year before is when I like I got this like aha of holy fucking shit, I love who I am.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
And it's funny. I have this conversation. I've had this conversation over the past like 2 weeks with my sister, and yep. I feel like it keeps coming up.
I've also had this conversation multiple times in the last like couple months as well, because I felt the same thing as you.
Yeah.
Like, and I had that aha moment as well. Like, I've been shooting boudoir for like 4 or 5 years now, but I have struggled with my own body and I've struggled with my own insecurities for a long time. And even during the time that I was shooting boudoir, and it was actually through shooting boudoir that I developed my own confidence, and just seeing the women that lacked in confidence, but also seeing the women that I envied as people. And I was like, oh my God, I would kill to have their bodies, be able to tell me that they were so insecure in their bodies.
Yeah. And it's so funny that you say that, because I look back at old pictures of myself where, you know, I'm almost 70 pounds lighter than I am now. And I think like, how didn't I see how beautiful I was?
Yes.
How didn't I see that? Because it took me a massive weight gain to finally sit down with myself and like look at myself in my fucking eyes and say like, holy fuck, I love you.
Yeah.
Like right
now. Oh my God.
Like
I just got chills.
Yeah. In this body right now with every single purple, bright fucking purple stretch mark. I fucking love you so much.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like when you have that, like that realization, and actually,
there's literally nothing that's going to stop you from that. So people better fucking watch the fuck out, because
I remember what actually triggered it. And it was when I was doing my coaching certification. So it would have been like 6 months before that. So I think November is when I had the aha around food, because I used to overeat like to a point where it was like painful.
Okay.
And I think that's when I had in November is when I had the coaching session that really clicked, that really like put everything into place for me with food, like my relationship with food, how it had developed and why I was using it in that way. But the self-love, I actually think, came in March 2018. And we were doing – so I was doing my coaching certification with the integrated School of Integrated Sexuality, the Tantric School of Integrated Sexuality. And we were – the module that we were doing – so initially, just to rewind a little bit, initially the first trimester of our course was – self-work.
Okay.
No coaching.
Just nothing. Working on yourself. Yeah, exactly. And that was it.
Like so no coaching was being taught. We were only doing self-work. And one of the modules was, or two of the modules were all about death and the underworld, like our underworld goddesses, essentially. Okay. And one of the activities that we had to do was essentially like assist our funeral or our wake and see ourselves dead.
Okay.
And
that must have been such a huge, like, very like a struggle to be able to, I guess, if you're afraid of death too, you know what I mean?
So like, I think my belief system with death and like who I am as a being has evolved to a point where I'm really not scared of death. Like I believe that me dying is just me popping back into like infinite flow.
Okay.
Kind of.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I used to be terrified of death.
Yeah.
I have my mom has stories of like,
and probably most people would
be. I would say. And yeah, I have stories of 2012 when the world was supposed to end and like,
oh girl, like that gave me so much anxiety.
Me too. Me too. And so yeah, I'm this spirit essentially, and I'm hovering on top of my casket, and I'm seeing my body, like not a skinnier body, not a bigger body. I'm seeing my body in the casket for the first time, and I have to say goodbye.
Okay.
And that's the first time that I thought, holy fuck, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. You have been the, oh, I could like, I tear up thinking about it. Like, you have been the best home for me that I could have ever asked for. Fucking thank you.
Wow. I'm going to tear up as well.
It's like, there's something about like thinking about leaving this place, this body that I've been in, that just fucking kills me. I love her so much.
Yeah.
I fucking love her. Woo! And yeah, it was, that's where it kind of began, that relationship of like.
It was kind of, it was like you said, it was an aha moment to really, to really look at yourself and see that you're not just a body.
No.
You're just a home for your soul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, and I don't know. It's
it
a lot.
It was incredible.
I can imagine that it would be.
Yeah. And then after that, a few months after that, so March, I went to Mexico in May for a retreat. It was essentially an intensive for our course. And so we had 4 weeks of retreats. I was week two, and essentially there are 50 women each week doing the retreat. I'm week two, show up there. I'm the youngest out of all the women who are there. I was 23 at the time. And was I 23? Yeah, I was 22 when I started the course, and I just turned 23. And I felt like it was the most unsafe place I could be, because we were in the jungle, naked, alone. Like, it was just us.
Very
on the
vulnerable.
Resort. Yeah. On the resort, it was just us. There was staff, but they weren't allowed where we were at. All the casitas were open air. So we had essentially poles with curtains to like protect us from bugs, and that's it, our beds and our bathroom. But our shower was like open. We had a tree leaning into our bathroom, and when I took my shower, I was next to that tree.
Wow,
but it was amazing.
Okay.
It was like luxe, but also like in nature.
Yeah.
And it was the wildest. That's where I initially developed my deep love for sisterhood.
Okay.
Like, those women changed my life for fucking ever. And I experienced like actual sisterhood for the first time. There's nothing like sitting in a circle of women and sharing I'm quoting this, the grossest parts of yourself that you find unacceptable. And then 50 eyes, or I should say 100 eyes, staring back at you with pure love.
Wow.
And like, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
That must have been incredible.
It was amazing.
And next time you go, you got to hit a girl up. Because you know I'm going to be coming with you.
Yes. It was amazing. And I fell in love with women. And then I knew from that point on, I got to work with women. Because initially I wasn't sure.
Okay. I was going to ask if that's where that kind of started.
So it's actually funny, because initially I've worked in corporate since I was 14 years old.
Okay.
When I was 14 years old, I was a junior graphic designer for a marketing company. And I kept working with this company. And I did all kinds of kind of odd jobs for them. It was always around, except for the one summer where I was kind of like a data analysis person.
Okay.
I always did like project coordination, marketing-y stuff. And I'm like pure artistic compared to someone who's like more analytic. So obviously I didn't love the data analysis.
I'm also pure artistic, yeah, same thing. Yeah. So I get it.
So I loved doing, I did some filmography for them, some video editing. I did web design is like the big thing, which I still do some web design. But I also had this, like, I was on this self-healing journey from, I had a lot of trauma around sexuality from my first relationship when I was young. And every relationship I would get into felt like this whole other struggle that kept triggering me.
Okay.
And I could never like fucking deal with it. Like, yeah, it would never fucking work. And so my ex passed away and that just kind of threw me into this like self-discovery. I don't even know. Like, journey isn't even enough of a sentiment for what was happening. And so that's when I started seeking outward help, and I started seeing a healer regularly and a medium, and I started doing Reiki. And then fast forward, I find this incredible program with the Institute, and I'm like, I'm crying at the thought of not doing this program. And so we decide, okay, we're going to sell the house to pay for the program. So
oh my
we sell
God.
The house. And because I was still doing marketing. I was working at Sephora at the time and I had my Reiki practice in the house. And so we sell the house. I start doing the program and then I decide I just want to do online. Like, I really love, there's something about, it's funny because earlier when we were talking about photography online,
mm-hmm, and like the Zoom sessions,
yeah,
and that
and
kind
for
of
you
stuff.
It like doesn't speak to you whatsoever. No, yeah. For me, it was like, holy fuck, I have access to the world right here.
Yeah,
and I can be in my sweatpants. This
it's
is amazing.
True. It's true, and I think like you are. It's just like you said about me. I feel like you can connect with women so well.
Yeah.
And being able to talk to women and that kind of stuff, I feel mm-hmm. like you're very good at. And being able to do that through a Zoom meeting, you'll 100% be able to do that through a Zoom
meeting.
And
I had the experience of doing Reiki at a distance.
Okay.
Which kind of like, for me, was the experience that solidified the fact that like the energetic connection that I have with a client face-to-face doesn't really exist because we're like actually in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
It can exist through an online meeting
for sure.
And I just like going through the program and meeting all of these women, and you know, we had practicums that we had to go through and practice our coaching, and really solidified the fact that that was true. I had some of the most amazing ahas or transformative moments through these online sessions, and they were with women halfway across the world.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
After Mexico is when I realized, holy fuck, I love women. I really want to work with, I think, just women. And I was starting to experience, or I was starting to realize like what living as a woman in the patriarchal system that we have, like what that impact actually was on me, what it had had on me, and what, how it was affecting women. And then fast forward a few months, we had an intensive month of business bootcamp as a part of the certification. And one of the worksheets asked something like, if you could coach in anything, what would it be? And then if you could coach in something that is like too good to be true, mm-hmm. essentially, what would that coaching be around? And for me, it was success and business. And although I don't do that much business strategy, I have some clients that obviously are business owners, and we do, we develop strategies for them and and all that stuff, I really thrive at the concept of success and deconditioning beliefs around money and deconditioning beliefs around what I can allow in my life and what I can't allow in my life and how easy that can be. And the results that I get, the most what the fuck just happened moments with are around allowing success into my life. I had a client not too long ago tell me that after literally one session, she got the promotion that she was,
oh my God,
she was wanting in one of our sessions. And for me, the craziest part is that she was new to that company, and she had like listed a ton of reasons why she wasn't going to get it, including like she doesn't have seniority. There are so many more people that are like quote unquote better than her at what she does, that have been there for longer, that like are essentially in line for the promotion. Mm-hmm. And she is not even on the leaderboard.
And honestly, I tell everybody that I meet, you have to fake it till you make it.
100%.
Literally just like, you're going to decide that you can do this. Even if you feel like deep down you really can't, you're going to fucking do it anyway. And you're going to thrive at it.
And it's funny that you say that, because I was just having a conversation with my sister maybe a few days ago about how working at that marketing company, they gave me positions that I was not qualified for.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. I've never studied anything film, and they would get me to film these like high production videos for
clients.
Because
they thought that you were capable of doing it.
Yeah.
And you just were like, well, I'm not qualified, so I can't.
And not even that. I think it's like, I never thought that I couldn't. It's just I didn't know how yet.
Yes.
If that makes
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Yeah. That completely makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, I don't have the information that I need yet. Let me go get that and then I can do it.
Yeah.
And that, I think, it's a huge testament to how my parents raised us. Mm. It was always like, you can do whatever you want and you just have to like figure out how. And, but yeah, it was like that moment of like, I just got that promotion felt like it's like another, it confirms to me that like, I love success. I love finances, or I love money. I love women in power.
Mm-hmm.
And I am exactly where I have to be in helping women achieve that.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
Women with money are going to fucking change the world.
Yes, 100%.
Like
100%.
I think we've been living in a world where white men kind of rule, not kind of, but rule.
Mm-hmm.
And, women are gonna fucking change the world. And I'm here for it. I'm a part of it.
I'm fucking here for it too. Yeah. I love that. Well, Monica, I just want to thank you so much for being on today's episode. Can you tell us where our listeners can find you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm at Mon Hebert. So MoneHebert.
Okay.
Same thing with Facebook. And we have a free Facebook group for women who are looking for sisterhood and a place where we can learn about success, manifestation, growth, all of that good stuff. And it is, you can search for FN, written F star, 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 IN, divine. On Facebook and join the Facebook group.
I can vouch for this Facebook group. I'm a part of it. I absolutely love it. So yes, you should absolutely join this Facebook group.
Yes. We have it's a relatively new Facebook group. So it's a small community for now, but hopefully it will get huge.
Yeah.
Get it to reach the women that it needs to.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to put all of Monica's information in the show notes so that you guys can go follow her. But I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode today. Make sure to give us some feedback on what you loved, maybe some different parts of the episode that you really, really vibed with. Thank you so much again, Monica, for being on today's episode.
My pleasure.
And have a great rest of the day. Have a great fucking Tuesday.
Yeah. up. Thank you.